welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein and the special guest, maybe not a secret guest that somehow everybody figured out. It's Rachel Hotmeyer of CBS Detroit. Rachel, thanks so much for joining us. We missed you.
I missed you, but what a fire intro that is. Oh my goodness.
We got an upgrade.
New and improved in 2024.
Oh my gosh, big slay. It's like I'm always grabbing the audio when I want to check in on Green Bay. This is my go-to because you have the pulse of the fan and my favorite analyst ever. But now that I'm seeing that, holy crap.
Yeah, Cheesehead TV hooked us up with an intro. I bob to it every time we record. We've been doing it for what, months now? I'm like just head bobbing along. Yes,
it's
very
great.
Fun.
I love it. What are you doing for the party?
So good to have you.
So good to be here, guys.
Oh my goodness. So those of you who've been listening for a long time knew you when you covered the Packers. You went, yep, this is an OG over here. Then you went over to the Bills, or I should say Buffalo, because you did all Buffalo sports for a little bit. And now you're
back
in Detroit.
Version, baby.
Yeah. So I guess to start, tell the people a little bit like where you're at, what you're doing, what you're covering, and then we can dive into this game.
Yeah, I am the lead and main sports anchor for CBS News Detroit now, which is an honor to say. It's very exciting. And of course, it's an exciting sports city to be in. But when I first took this job, my very first thought was, I'm now the Packers' number one enemy. Like, we're in enemy territory now, but it's so cool to be back in the division and have the opportunity to cover things from the other side. With that two-year gap in between. We don't just cover the Lions here, but I have to admit that's the number one focus right now, of course. So there is plenty to talk about this 6-1 team.
Can you explain like just what it's like for, you know, Packers fans, if you live kind of in the south of Wisconsin, the Bears are your rival. If you live like western Wisconsin, it tends to be the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And then the Lions are now up and comers. But is there like, are the Packers the number one rival for the Lions, or do they have like really strong, you know, up feelings about the other teams?
That's a great question. I just recently went to Minnesota. That was actually my first trip to US Bank Stadium. And I have thoughts on that we can discuss too. First of all, best media experience in the league. And now I understand why every beat writer looks forward to going to Minnesota. Sans Mall of America, which I obviously did on my Saturday. But that'll add to the experience for a shopaholic like me. Otherwise, it was nice because I saw multiple people tweeting that there were very harmonious interactions between Lions and Vikings fans. Even though it's in division, these two don't hate each other, and they could just kind of agree that, wow, what a great game we were walking into. No matter what, it was going to be a great game. And of course, we got a great game in Minneapolis. But that was cool to not be in such a vitriolic environment for football and just very ho-hum, welcome to Minnesota. You know, Minnesota, nice. I don't know what I'm getting into with this Packers game. I feel like it might be turned up a notch a little more. But it's the Midwest. And, you know, Maggie's the Midwestern here. I think this still might be a little chill. I think there's maybe more vitriol against Chicago. I could be totally wrong because I'm finally going to experience my first games against both of those opponents on this side. Thanksgiving is going to be Thanksgiving, and it's huge, and it's on our air at CBS, so I'm so excited about that. But I just feel like this might be at least a little more turned up than the Vikes game.
I agree with you, just because I remember Amon-Ra, you know, kind of talking his smack last time they were at Lambeau and, you know, going at it, and the fans in blue when they were at Lambeau came down and they really brought it, the away fans for sure. And I expect that to happen again on Sunday, being that it's in the division. So Maggie and I talked about this, and we feel like it could get kind of chippy this game, just because they're fighting for the top of the division. You know, this game really matters. And there could be some like player rivalry going on, not that I'm rooting for that. However, I think a little rivalry that's not Packers Bears, like one that exists between two teams that are legitimately contenders against one another, would be kind of fun.
Yeah, it's competition, it's competitive. And I love that fiery vibes, especially, it's funny, I was sitting in the press box this past week as the Titans come to town, and me and a colleague were sitting, and it's the first time we've been back in almost a month. And I even missed the one Lions game I've missed this year was Seattle Monday Night Football here because I was on the road with the Tigers. So I haven't been at Ford Field in a minute. And then we were on the road for three. And I was like, this is kind of a toned down, just a little chiller situation. It's the Titans. We knew it. There was the potential for a trap game, but there was no real energy. Okay. No rawr energy. Tigers still, or Lions, I do that a lot lately. Lions still came out and did their thing, so it's fine. And they gave them plenty to cheer for, but this wasn't like a intense or thickness in the air moment. I do think that this will kind of get them jazzed and back to NFC North competition. There's just a different level of locked in when it comes to that. And everyone in Detroit and around the league knows what it means to go into Lambeau Field and go into Cheesehead territory, and you're back at the Mecca. So I think no matter what, they've gotten quite used to being the party crashers as the away team.
And I mean, I think, you know, nobody expected the Packers-Texans to have the tension that it did with Jair and like Diggs. And, you know, I know that Jaden Reed was on Amon-Ra's podcast not that long ago, and they were kind of talking back and forth. So it super sucks. And maybe we can get into this when you think about the Packers not being at full strength for this one, looking at the Jordan Love injury day by day, you know, for sure back after the bye. Could he push it to play early? And Perry and I said yesterday on the recap, like, probably don't want him to if he's not 100%, because you risk, you know, significant damage long term. Jair sounds like avoided long term issues with his knee, but again, also day to day. So you're talking about arguably your best player on each side of the ball and having them not be available for a game where the Lions are putting up 33 points on average is just kind of scary at Lambeau Field. Not what you want from a Packers team that's fighting for the top of the division.
No, and that's tough. You know, I have a feeling you're not going to see Malcolm Rodriguez next week, given the ankle injury that he dealt with yesterday, getting carted off. And I do think you'll see Josh Pascal back to fill the edge with Hutch and Davenport out. So that's great. But this is a game where you love to look at matchups all season. I've been like, okay, what's Ja going to be going against in this game? Like, and that's something that you can only think of with this Packers roster. Like, Jair Alexander is always something you look forward to. And just like I've seen Terrion Arnold really grow here the last few weeks, like, this whole roster is filled with popcorn worthy matchups.
Yeah. I just, this is the game that, like, you really want everyone at full strength. Like, you want the Lions at full strength. You want the Packers at full strength. You want this head to head to be everybody at their peak, just to really see, like, who comes out on top when they go at it. Obviously in week 9 of the NFL, no team is ever at full strength. That's just not the reality that we live in. So here we are. And I think so much of, like, success in the NFL is the longevity of players staying healthy. And I think it's really unfortunate that Love kind of, you know, it's a groin injury. It's not a knee injury, so it's not an aggravation, but just, you know, suffered something new. It's good to hear that nothing was long-term. We also got news that Evan Williams isn't serious, that Josh Jacobs isn't serious. So of the injuries that were suffered in Jacksonville, none of them are going to be too detrimental. And we could see all four players. We could see 2 out of 4. But, you know, you want to see Ja, Amon-Ra back and forth. Like, that is, like, circled, I think, on any football fan's list as the matchup. You want to see Jordan Love try to pick apart this Lions defense, you know, even without Hutch, you know, kind of go up against the pressure that they bring. So we'll find out. You know, we're recording this early, so we'll keep an eye on the injury reports as the week goes on. But speaking of matchups, we mentioned a few, but anything else in this game that you kind of have to be like, your 1A that you think is going to be key?
You got to watch out for the secondary. It's so cool to see how dynamic they are. And this weekend was just an example of how the way Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn just make such dynamic schemes happen. But I wouldn't be shocked if next week is another feast for Brian Branch. I mean, that dude, and it's crazy because when you look at the tape, it's clear as day. You know, he's been doing this. He's so dynamic out there ever since Bama, before Bama. But he told me the other day, a few weeks ago, that I asked, you know, what do you say to people who are just figuring out your game? He said that the NFL now feels like high school ball to him. And, like, dude is just unlocked. an absolute another level. And this past week, it was Amik Robertson with 2 forced fumbles. You know, the week before, it's Kirby Joseph getting his time. Like, everybody is able to make those plays and line up. And I think that's pretty special. But that's what I wouldn't be surprised if they have their way in Lambeau.
So I'm curious your thoughts on this, obviously, because you were somebody that got to cover Aaron Rodgers. You've seen, I'm sure, thoughts about Jordan Love and the interceptions that he throws and, you know, the decision making that goes into that. And you're talking about, you know, this Lions secondary being kind of the thing to watch out for. Do you notice like similarities to Jordan's game when it comes to like Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre? You know, everybody likes to make the comparison when it comes to YOLO balls and just kind of throwing it up there. Like, what has your impression been of Jordan? Because you didn't really get to cover him outside of being a backup in your time in Green Bay.
Yeah. And I try to like be so clear that I don't even want to lean on the little that I saw of him back then, only for maybe growth comparative sake, because he was just a completely different kid back then. Probably personality wise too. Obviously I haven't been in that room in a minute, but again, when you have someone like Aaron Rodgers in the room, that just determines absolutely everything about your environment and product. I'm not even saying that in a negative way. That's just what Aaron Rodgers is. He is a tone setter in every way. So I don't know. I'm not out here being like, I don't think the Jordan today is the carbon copy of Aaron that they maybe envisioned to mold him as when they first got him, and that, okay, they're going to have this cookie cutter opportunity and this is what it's going to be. Sure, sometimes, but I think you could say that with a lot of quarterbacks. I don't really think it's an innately specific thing anymore that it used to be. It used to be, we are drafting him because this is the outcome we want. We want to continue this style of play. And I really think, even if it's just slight, they've kind of started to let that trajectory for Jordan take its own path. But like, I could pick 5 clips a season where different quarterbacks throw a throw like Aaron. Same with Tom Brady. Like, I just, I don't know that we need to make quarterbacks and their styles of play as like specific as NHL goaltenders. I just don't feel that way.
Yeah. I think what's so interesting about it is, you know, Jordan Love wins football games and still is leading the league in interceptions. And unfortunately, against a team like the Lions, you know, that becomes a much harder challenge than it is against other teams. Like, the Packers are still winning the turnover differential because their defense continues to take the ball away, even though their offense is giving up opportunities every single week. And I'll be curious. I mean, you are there with the Lions, you know, they 5 turnovers a couple weeks ago, 4 turnovers on defense this last week. Like, we talk about the Packers always being the team that wins turnover differential, and it's about the best chance they're going to get, you know, to go up against an opponent that can do it right back to them on Sunday.
Yeah, that's 100% it. It's the way I described it in my post-game story Sunday night was, even when this offense got off to a slow start yesterday and letting Goff get sacked 3 too many times in the first quarter, the defense provides the juice. And the fact that on almost every turnover, they're capitalizing with a score, it's so reliable. It's really crazy that the defense doesn't need until the third or fourth quarter to turn things up. They're right there with a pick. 5-6 minutes left in the first quarter. So yeah, they have their work cut out for them in this one. Like, I'm glad this was already prime time, because if not, then it should have been flexed.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's a little bit of a comparison between the two, right? Because the Lions put up points on good field position 5 times against the Titans. And it's a huge reason why the score was run up so high. Right, when you're turning 7 in within the 30, and you know, because your defense got a turnover, because there were your special teams made a great play multiple times in a game, you're going to end up winning football games. And the Packers, well, they have a great turnover differential this season, and they are making those plays. The offense is not capitalizing the same way, right? It's at least not as automatic as the Lions. And in this game, if you're going to keep up in the same way, they're going to have to turn those into 7, if not 100% of the time, like 9 out of 10 times when they get those opportunities. Cause I don't know how much the Lions offense is really going to give them those opportunities and cough the ball up. So when they do get those, they're going to have to do something with them.
I'm trying to think of the last time this season that the Lions offense gave it a turnover. And there might have been one in Minnesota, but yeah, that's not happening. They know ball security's job security.
Exactly.
If you had to pick, you know, and maybe we're not trying to get you in trouble in Detroit, but if you had to pick a way that the Packers win this game, you know, because we talked about the strength of this Lions team, where's like a vulnerability that you see in this team that the Packers could exploit? Because it's really hard to find one. And I think that's where your perspective comes in, because you're maybe around the team more. And it's totally, you can say there isn't one. That's okay too.
I think that the way they can win, I do think there is a way to beat this offense. It's just extremely hard. And most teams who think they're up to the task can't actually pull it off. But to take Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery out of the picture isn't just the solution. Like, it's not just taking out the Sonic and Knuckles, because you look at that, Detroit had six different receivers this past game. I have a feeling that the way Detroit is going to line this up is to use their really versatile tight ends. And I think that might be a way to catch on to the scheme early, in my opinion. But again, that's not going to be the only answer, because they're so cerebral that they could say, all right, this route isn't working to Laporta. Well, let's just have Penei Sewell do a hook and ladder, because why not? I don't think you can beat the random Dave Phipp trick play. Like, Dave Phipp, Ben Johnson collab is better than like any collab I've seen this year. I don't care about Gucci, Adidas. I don't care about anything else. It's Phipp Johnson. So, and it's just entertaining. Like, I feel like a kid watching these games. And I know that Packers fans who love good ball could be like, holy crap, that was a crazy play. As long as it's not done, you know, offensively when they're up many, many points, then it becomes slightly disrespectful, which I'm not advocating against. I just think they're going to have to be equally cerebral. You're going to have to be prepared to stop the game on the ground and in the air.
Yeah. I think there's two keys for me in this game, because let's face it, the Lions are going to score points, right? Yeah. The last four games, 52, 31, 47, 42.
Plus 85 point differential on this four game.
Yeah. You are going to score points. So yeah. Like, this is going to be a huge test for Jeff Hafley. I think this new defense and this new defensive scheme is going to be a huge test. And I've talked about this all week, and I mentioned it to Maggie before we started recording, which is like, how do you get to Jared Goff is the big question for me in this game, right? He's been nails under pressure and when blitzed this season. You cannot just do like traditional four-man rushes against him. He will beat you. And Hafley's been really creative, like really, really creative this season when bringing pressure and bringing blitzes. The pressure in Green Bay has not, like, on paper and like on the eye test, really shown up in the way that you would want it to necessarily. But when you look at the numbers, like, they are pressuring quarterbacks, right? And they're clearly doing it enough for like Xavier McKinney to have six picks. So what can you do in this game to somehow like knock Jared Goff off his spot?
Yeah.
Is my one question. And my other key here is like, Green Bay is running the ball so well this season. So well, right? They're killing other teams on the ground. And if you can hold time of possession and like simply just keep this Lions offense off the field, then that is the key. Because like I said before, like, they're, when they're on the field, they're going to score points. Yeah. So I don't know. I think the answer is just keep them off the field.
No, I like both of those, because truthfully, if you can get through the pocket, then you do have a good chance. And Goff was shaken up and not great to start yesterday. Like that exists and that reality happens. I mean, my prediction from the jump has been this game is going to be a shootout as the clock winds down. But I feel like Maggie has something more insightful than that.
Not really. I mean, I think that my question going into this one, the Packers, you know, the Lions put up 52 points. Like, we know that they're capable of starting fast and staying hot. And that's been the concern about this Packers team, is against the Rams, against the Vikings, you're not putting up any points in the first half. And then you have to play catch up and try to get your foot on the gas and get hot. And against a team like the Lions, they're not going to be able to get hot. I don't think that there's a world, if they go down two scores at halftime, that they're kind of knuckling back into this one the same way that they did and almost won against the Vikings. Like, the Lions team is just too good in every phase. You know, you can't even bank on like a dumb special teams mistake. And yes, I think that's what's so challenging, is the Packers were able to kind of beat themselves a little bit in Jacksonville and still squeak out a win.
Yeah.
And we know they haven't been playing their cleanest ball. Yes. And against a team like the Lions, one turnover, I think, could be the difference. And we just haven't seen the Packers put together a clean game yet this year.
One turnover and the Lions quickly put up 14. I look at the way the Packers should be looking at the Lions, the way Dan Campbell characterized the Vikings before they went to Minnesota, which is, you know, you don't want to get behind one score because one score turns into three very quickly. And if you don't consistently make stops on downs, this game can blow out real quick.
And unfortunately, the Lions defense is really good on third and fourth down and in the red zone.
Yeah, they are. It's scary. It's so scary.
Are they just good at everything? Yikes.
Kind of.
This division is crazy, Rachel. I don't think I can remember a time when the NFC North looked like this, which is fun. It is fun. Like, as much as I enjoy watching the Packers beat down on all of their opponents, there is a part of me that really enjoys like legitimate rivalry and competition across the board and having kind of a spotlight on the division in terms of like all the talent there. It must be fun for you too, to see as like someone who's now covered two of the four teams.
Oh, for sure. It's a really cool time to be back in the division, frankly, because it is different than when I was kind of leaving at the tail end of Packers dominance. And I look at it, you know, I grew up a Patriots fan and there was plenty of dominance in that division as well for a very long time. And now obviously the scales have completely broken and turned upside down in that division, but there are some competitive games again, some very few. And even though sometimes a bit of the Patriots Jets game yesterday shouldn't have been as competitive as it was, it is at least cool to have that parody again for like a minute. But yes, I enjoy covering sports when it isn't a dynasty all the time. It's just different. Mm-hmm. You get different stories, you get different competition, you get different everything. Now, when there is a dynasty to cover, I do think it's cool and you can learn plenty from that as well. But I think this is more of a challenge that I welcome.
Perry and I have talked about this, you know, in, you know, kind of past seasons, but I think something that is especially significant about the division being good is the iron sharpens iron mentality. Like, we've seen the Packers beat up on teams and finish like 11-6 and go into the playoffs and then just get steamrolled because the competition that you're facing is to a lesser extent and you don't really have that level of competition that you're playing up to. We see the Packers historically play down to their opponents. So it'd be really nice on Sunday to see them do the exact opposite and rise to the occasion and say, hey, you know, we're used to being the cream of the crop in the NFC North and you're at Lambeau. And it would just be really fun to see them, you know, actually, you know, win a shootout. But
100%. I mean, even in baseball, if we want to talk about the Mets, like getting through everything they did and everyone left to say, oh my gosh, crazy that these AL Central teams are coming out of it. And yes, one AL Central team was very bad. But the rest, it was an iron sharpens iron situation. It's when you're going up against that competition, it raises the standard.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, my Mets.
Sorry.
Oh, my Mets. It's okay. I'm still sad about it. It's fine.
It would be true.
Should we do score predictions?
Yeah.
Final thoughts and score predictions?
I was so wrong this weekend, guys. Sitting in the press box with my we had barbecue in the press box this weekend. Maybe that was for Tennessee. I didn't even think about that until just now. It was great, for the record. Thank you, staff. I sat down and very confidently was like, yeah, 21-14 Lions. So at least I got the 14 right. Just half of what the Lions would put up. No big deal. Ooh. You guys go first. Let me think.
I mean, the Packers defense is shutting teams down in the second half pretty legitimately. The Jacksonville Jaguars
will stop in the second half if they're dead. They could play dead.
Yeah. So the Jacksonville Jaguars scoring a touchdown, I think, was the first time in like four or five games that the Packers have allowed a touchdown in the second half.
And then they allowed a second one. So
yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen, but I don't know. Part of me really wants to call this like a defensive game. Like, everyone expects this to be like really high scoring, like da da da. And I just feel like there's a lot of tape of each other, right? And a lot. And I the expectations are really high. I do think the Packers are going to lean ground game, which to me means lower scoring, just like naturally with the clock running. My one thing, I'm taking forever because I don't have a number. If Jordan doesn't play, then like it's just a loss in my book. I mean, there's just no way that the Packers can go toe to toe with the Lions without Jordan. But I'm going to call this like he is going to play because I have a feeling he's going to push to play really, really hard. Like there's, you know, especially if it's not serious. So 24-21 Lions.
Okay. Yeah. It would be really funny if it was like 17-14. It would probably be really boring, honestly, because we're so used to seeing all of the scoring. But yeah, I don't know. My brain says like 31-28. Like the Packers are on the wrong side of a walk-off field goal this time after winning it the last 2 weeks. I hate picking against the Packers, but we're homers if we always pick the Packers. And this one is just really, really tough for them. And, you know, I think if Jair plays and if Evan Williams plays and if Jordan Love plays, obviously things look different. And I don't know if that's enough to eke out a win, but we'll see what happens, right? I mean, they don't play again until when do they play again?
Late in the season.
December. Yeah. So, I mean, we could see kind of like what we saw last season where Packers got upset at home. Then they went into Ford Field and responded because that's typically what happens with Matt LaFleur within the division. So I expect the Packers to beat the Vikings at US Bank later as well. But yeah, like 31-28 to me, Lions.
I think I'm going to go 31-21
Lions. Okay.
I think it's whenever I do these things, I do this really silly game in my head of, okay, how do I see the first few drives going? And I just like make up a game in my head. I don't ask me if that's based in truth at all, but I'm just kind of like, you know, where can I see this game flow going? And that's what I see. 31-21. I think Packers will be able to get within field goal position a couple times and sneak in definitely on the ground a few touchdowns. I think that's the best way to put it. But I also think teams are getting inspired against the Lions to pull out some trick plays. And I don't think that that is the Packers specialty these days, but I can say that like I feel like they're going to try something. 31-21 Lions.
Okay. Boy, we need one of those little like NFL or ESPN graphics that has us all picking the Lions so that people can screenshot it and tweet it to us if the Packers win. But Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. It is always a pleasure to talk football with you. We're just going to go ahead and extend the offer now to come back in December to talk about the following game and hopefully again, maybe in the playoffs. But please tell everyone where they can find all of your work on Twitter and everywhere else.
When I'm not catching up on my very favorite podcast in the world, you can find me at Rachel Hopmeyer on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also always stream what I'm doing at cbsnewsdetroit.com.
Awesome.
You should definitely go do that because Rachel's work is stellar. It is phenomenal.
4, 6, and 11 every night.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody listening. You can find the show on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. If you're on YouTube, please like and subscribe to the show if you don't already. It really helps us out. And give Rachel a thumbs up for being here. Subscribe to the show because she's incredible. And if you're listening to the audio version on Spotify, you can support the show there as well. Thank you so much. And hopefully we're back on Sunday to talk about a sneaky Packers win. But if not, we'll still be here because go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.